Like just when you think you're cold in South Carolina, where it's to about 20, maybe 21 degrees now, we finally have gotten a frozen Steve Olscher on the line with us up there in Chicago. How are you doing this morning, Steve?
I'm great, but the line was frozen. That's why I couldn't get through.
What's the temperature in Chicago today?
Oh, you know, it's a balmy 9.
9? Okay, well, good for you. I'm glad you're there and not me. You know, while we were waiting for you to unfreeze the lines there, I was talking a little bit about the Reinvention Awards, and I'm very interested. You've written this best-selling book, What Is Your What? How can people discover their what and what they were supposed to do, what they were born to do, and how to make money at it is even a plus.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because so many people get confused by the notion that they should be pursuing their passion in order to do what they love and the money will follow. And I think that we've all proven pretty extensively to this point that it's just not that easy. And that's largely because they're focusing on the wrong things. And in my way of thinking, your what is really that which has chosen you, and it's not that which you have chosen. And so your what is comprised of three specific elements. The first are your natural gifts. In other words, it's what's in your DNA. It's part of your blueprint. There's nothing you can do about it, although you can live in denial about it, I guess, when many people do for a lifetime. The second is you have to understand the vehicle that you're going to use to share those gifts with the world. And then third, it's very important to understand and clarify the people that you're most compelled to serve. So it's getting to the answers of gifts, vehicle, and people that'll get you towards being able to solve the equation and answer the question of what is your what?
Well, that sounds so simple when you phrase it that way.
It's so simple, but yet, I've been doing this now for a number of years and helped thousands of people over the years, and I can tell you that 99% of the world in change has trouble answering one of those parts of the equation, let alone all three.
So what do you think is the most difficult question to answer?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't tell people where to start. In other words, with the gifts, with the vehicle, or the people, you start with whatever comes most clearly to you. Like, for instance, I have an associate, a friend now, who's featured in the book, What Is Your What? We've got some case studies in there. And in the book, there's a gentleman by the name of Johnny Immerman. And Johnny Immerman was originally a commercial real estate broker. You know, he sold real estate. It's what he was doing. And unfortunately, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And he beat it, but during the time when he was going through his process of, being treated, et cetera, he walked around the cancer ward and he saw that most of the people that were there weren't surrounded by people who, you know, were their friends and loved ones, et cetera, and were suffering alone. Now, he was surrounded by people who absolutely loved him, and he swore that if he beat the cancer, he would never let people who were suffering suffer alone. And so he created something called Immerman Angels, which matches cancer sufferers with cancer survivors of any stage at any age. And so the people that he is most compelled to serve has now been clearly defined as those who are suffering from cancer.
That's really neat. You know, those are the stories that you hear, and they just make you go, that is really neat.
Yeah.
And it is wonderful when people find that. But as you have gone on, I know that you just compiled this list of the 2013 top 10 global stories of reinvention. Out of those top 10 stories, which one is your favorite out of here?
You know, it's interesting because there's so many great stories of reinvention, but one of, I would say that probably my favorite, though it didn't make number one on the list, is someone that you probably, if you're a football fan, are familiar with, who is Jim Kelly, who brought the Buffalo Bills to 4 Super Bowls. They lost them all, but brought the Buffalo Bills to the Super Bowl 4 different times. And, you know, obviously a lot of athletes kind of have their own trials and tribulations post-sports, but Jim's had really a really difficult go. He lost his son when his son was only 9 years old to a very rare disease. He ended up having numerous back and knee surgeries, And most recently, he's been diagnosed with cancer of the jaw, and they actually removed half of his jaw and most of his teeth.
Wow.
And so if you've ever seen the movie Batman, maybe you remember Two-Face and how he looked, you know, kind of crazy with the mask and all when it was off.
Right.
And that's really what Jim Kelly is living now, but yet he has not let this define who he is, and he's doing incredible work in the philanthropic space and continues to donate his time to the kids. And it's just an incredible story of someone who continually reinvents who he is and, you know, and understands that life doesn't end simply because one chapter is over.
Yeah, actually, I own a jewelry store. It's called Sharp Facets. And my closing line on a lot of the TV commercials that I do is, "And so ends another chapter at Sharp Facets Gallery." Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are always new chapters, aren't there?
There are. And, you know, that's one of the things that I really do try to teach, is that you really just have a choice in every single moment of every single day. I call it a yay-no moment. It's a fancy way of saying yes-no. But it's really a matter of just understanding that you can either choose to move towards what it is that you're truly compelled to do in this moment, or you can choose to remain in the and on the path that you forged. But ultimately, you have that choice.
Yeah, that's kind of like where I'm at, Steve. I own a jewelry store. My husband and I own a jewelry store. And back in 2007, for some ungodly reason, my husband decided I'd be good on the radio. We bought a radio station. So I continue, and I love the radio, and I've actually won Best Radio Show for the whole state of South Carolina last year, 2013. So I know I'm on the right track, but it is very much of a, it's a juggling act, because I'm still needed at Sharp Facets, and yet I love doing the radio.
Yeah, and so that's really where it's interesting, because your gifts, I would venture to guess that your gifts, probably the overarching theme would be communication, because clearly you're good on the radio, but, you know, you're also good as a marketer, as a salesperson, et cetera, and that's all built around communication.
Exactly.
And so you have two different vehicles that you use to share those gifts with the world, one being the jewelry store and the other being radio. And so it's probably just a focus issue at this point in terms of, you know, who are those people that you're most compelled to serve? And once you're clear on what that answer is, that's when amazing things really do start to happen.
I think that part of that is also when you can go for what you'd really like to serve, if you want to use those words.
Yeah, and, you know, but it's important to understand that you have to look at this like a tripod, which is, just because you love to do something, it doesn't mean that you're good at it, and it certainly doesn't mean that you can make money doing it. I mean, if
well, there you go.
What's that?
I said, there you go, Steve. Therein lies the question.
Yeah, and that's the equation. It's kind of like a tripod, right? I mean, if you take out any one leg of the equation, the whole thing topples over.
Exactly.
And that's what people really have to look at, is what meets all three criteria, and it's just so important to do something that you love, something that you're good at, but equally important, something that you can make money at.
Yeah, survival makes all of these things a whole lot more palatable.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, in the book, What Is Your What, which, by the way, I encourage your audience, please go grab a copy. You can grab a copy for free if you go to whatisyourwhat.com. So if you go to whatisyourwhat.com, you can actually grab a free copy of that New York Times best-selling book. And, you know, it will absolutely teach you how to come up with these answers.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to have to get one of those copies, What Is Your What, so that I can figure out what is my what.
Yep, sounds great.
It does sound great. Steve Ulcher, it has been an absolute delight to have you on the air with us. I was real impressed with your list. I can't imagine putting together that top 10 global stories of reinvention. That had to be tough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we researched that for 2-3 weeks or so to try to find these stories and then go through them all, and definitely a process, no doubt. But in the end, I think we selected 10 amazing people from all over the globe.
Absolutely, and I think it was great that they all came from all different type of walks of life and all over the globe, which is, that had to be tough right there. Sometimes you think, well, you can be kind of isolated with the United States, but to come up with ones from all around the globe, that had to be an awesome trek.
It is, but, you know, that's the beauty of the Internet now, is when we've come to realize so clearly is that we're all just a part of a, you know, a very small family.
You are so right. Well, Steve Olscher, the website is, what is it now?
Let's go to whatisyourwhat.com and let's grab a free book.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for calling us. We'll be posting that on our website. Hope we can call you again sometime and have you on again.
Absolutely. Stay warm.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. That's Steve Olscher, and the name of the book is whatisyourwhat.com, and it is free. I plan to get a copy. In fact, Reed better be ordering me one right now so I can make sure that he doesn't run out of these free copies of What is Your What? Okay, there you go. 2000 Reinvention Awards, that is on the web too. And fascinating stuff, as I was telling you while we were waiting for him to call in. Here's another story. I'm just going to share a couple of them while we have a few minutes. Michael Blattmann of Wiesbaden, Germany, was forced to reinvent his life after being released from his position as vice president of a student loan company in 2008. The company provided him with $188,000 of severance package, so he felt he'd be financially fine. However, after struggling for 26 months to find work, he finally landed a job as a financial advisor, earning half of his previous salary. Several employment stints later, he secured his dream job. What was it? To teach business courses at an army base in Wiesbaden, Germany. So there you go. Now, you wouldn't have thought that from going from the status that he was to a teacher, but he found his dream job, and he is serving people who need help. I'm going to tell you what the number one story was for all of 2013 on this Reinvention Awards. Rachel Washburn of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, reinvented her life from a Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader to being an Army intelligence officer with a special ops combat unit in Afghanistan. Her mission, to pioneer a special mission whereby she could relate to women in ways that would be culturally inappropriate for male troops, including helping to deliver an Afghan baby in a snowstorm. In her second tour in Afghanistan, she served as a platoon leader of an Army intelligence unit, an Army first lieutenant and daughter of an Army helicopter pilot, and an Air Force fighter pilot. The military is an environment she naturally excels in, and in spite of the doubters who have trouble believing that a former cheerleader can effectively serve in the military, Rachel and her peers know that she serves her country in equal capacity as her counterparts. So there you go. That was the top story, top reinvention award. So just thought that was an interesting subject.